EcoScoops word met trots vervaardig deur NewsCoop. Hallo, ek is Isabel Potgieter en jy is ingeskakel by EcoScoops, die ruimte waar ons ondersoek instel oor hoe gesonder landskappe tot gesonder lewens lei. Vandag op die program gesels ons met Cape Nature se fauna-ekoloog Dr. Martin Jordaan. 'N nuut beskrewe spesie van Paradiplozoon is ter ere van haar vernoem vir haar diepgaande kennis van die Kaapse vou-ekostreek, haar voortgesette toewyding aan die bestudering van die visse daarin en haar werk aan hul parasitofauna. Maar soos ouder gewoonte, kyk ons eers na omgewingsnuus hoofstrekke. Die Steenkampskraal Monazietmyn in die Wes-Kaap het in samewerking met die Nasionale Mineraalnavorsingsagentskap, Mintec, hoogsuiwerheid gemengde seldsame aardprodukte vervaardig. Die vennote sê in 'n gesamentlike verklaring, die materiaal sal dien as noodsaaklike voermateriaal vir globale energie, digitale oorgang en mediese markte. Hulle sê hierdie mylpaal baan die weg vir Suid-Afrika se eerste kommersiële seldsame aardproduksie wat voor die einde van 2026 beoog word. Daar is ook langtermynplanne om uit te brei na die veredeling van seldsame aard en thoriummetale en mediese isotoopproduksie. 'N beskeie fossiel wat 40 jaar lank in 'n laai vergete gelê het, blyk die eerste dinosourusbeen ooit in Antarktika te wees. Die BBC berig dat die fossiel in 1985 opgegrawe is, maar die span wat dit ontdek het, was nie seker wat dit was nie. Daarom is dit in die geologieversameling van die British Antarctic Survey, BAS, in Cambridge gestoor. Nou is die fossiel bestudeer deur paleontoloë wat bevestig het dat dit 'n stuitjie van 'n tipe dinosourus is wat 'n Titanosaurus genoem word. Hierdie groep het die grootste dinosourusse bevat wat ooit op die aarde geleef het. Vandag gesels ons met Cape Nature se fauna-ekoloog Dr. Martin Jordaan. Hoe het dit gevoel om Paradiplozoon Jordaani nou jou vernoem te kry en hoekom maak dit saak vir Kaapse varswaterbewaring?
Okay, I think to start off with, I would just say it is, I think, one of the biggest honors for any biologist to actually have a species named after them. And I was blown away when I heard the news that I had a species named after me. Because as I say, it is probably one of the greatest honors that any biologist can have. But just because something's named after me does not mean that I have done all the work. Species descriptions are highly technical things, and they rely on a combination of a lot of morphological work in the laboratory, on genetic studies, on looking at sort of historical data within the same group. So a whole lot of work went into this description, and I just want to acknowledge the authors here from the Northwest University, and they are Prof. Nico Smith, Dr. Marlies Tuiter, and Dr. Ivra Prikrilova. And in terms of the second half of your question, in terms of the value of the study, when we look at freshwater biodiversity as a whole, this remains a very understudied field in Southern Africa. And for many taxonomic groups, there's a lot of diversity that remain unknown and undescribed. And I think the media attention that the species has afforded or has gotten has afforded a much needed exposure in terms of freshwater ecosystems and their conservation needs.
Wat sê die vind van hierdie parasiet op byna bedreigde saagvin en rooivin visse vir ons oral gesondheid?
So parasites are a very natural part of aquatic ecosystems, and if the fish are healthy, they can manage quite well with low levels of parasites, and they will not have any ill effects or suffer any adverse effects. However, when fish become stressed, for whichever reason, a lot like with us, their immune systems are compromised, and this makes them a lot more susceptible to high parasite burdens, which can then lead to adverse effects. And in this specific case, the species is known from two hosts, the sawfin that you mentioned, as well as the Clan William redfin. Those are two species that are both endemic to the olifant system on the west coast of the country. These two fish were sampled from pristine rivers in nature reserves. And the fish were characterized by very low levels of parasite infestation. And there were no impacts on the fish as a result of these parasites. And the reason for this is largely that sampling was done on reserve in a very good water quality and unimpacted habitat. So the fish were fairly happy and healthy otherwise. So they weren't really that adversely affected by the parasites.
Kan jy een sleuteloomblik in jou samewerking met die NWI beskryf wat tot hierdie ontdekking gelei het?
Ja, I had actually never, until about a decade ago, I'd never worked with Northwest University. But during a survey in the Meidingspoort in near Oudtshoorn in around 2016, 2018, I found this really interesting freshwater fish louse on one of the redfins that I was sampling. And I'd never seen anything like it before, so I kept the fish and the louse. And then I sent it to Professor Nico Smith at Northwest University. And this was about a decade ago already, but it was the start of a very productive collaboration. And in the time since finding this fish louse and sending it to Prof. Smith, myself and his students and some of his postdocs have done many shared field trips in the Western Cape. And I think this is just one of those examples that shows the value of collaboration between specialist scientists such as the Northwest parasitologists and field ecologists such as myself. In terms of conserving and doing work to discover and conserve freshwater biodiversity.
En dit was Cape Nature se fauna ekoloog Dr. Martin Jordaan. Dankie dat jy vandag by ons ingeskakel het. En dit was nog 'n uitsending van EcoScoops, trots vervaardig deur NewsCube.